Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, your community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. As you know, I am a huge fan of the spoken word, great writing, and great performances, be it television, the big screen, or on stage. Undoubtedly, Charlotte has emerged as Destination Central for great performances, especially of the stage variety. So too has Raleigh, Winston-Salem, and other cities in North Carolina. The stage play, The Devil Thought He Had Me, written and directed by playwright Pichanda DuBose, is preparing for another great performance with familiar and new cast members, greater drama, and a whole new take on the award-winning stage play. So this morning, a conversation with the director and producer of the award-winning stage play, The Devil Thought He Had Me, on Praise 100.9 at 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Joining me this morning is playwright and director Pichanda DuBose, founder of Mayan Productions. Named after her two children, Maya and Man, Pichanda DuBose's Mayan Productions helps spread messages of positivity and encouragement with a distinct brand of edutainment. Mayan Productions deals with a host of difficult issues such as domestic abuse, drug awareness, negative peer influences, and the Christian faith. Mayan Productions also showcases both local and nationally renowned performers to bring its message to the stage. And I should mention, Ms. DuBose has become a great friend. Peaches, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Ron. It's such a blessing to be here.
Absolutely. I'm excited that you're here in the studio with me to talk about some of the things that you are doing. You have so many projects going on. You are too busy for me. Well, I can't even keep up.
I hear that all the time. I'm constantly keeping my hand to the plow. Glad about it, though. I am glad about it.
Well, you have another stage play in the works.
Yeah.
A Playwrights Ball, an internet radio show.
Yes, I do.
What are you doing?
I am working the gifts within. I'm staying busy, and I'm just, you know, doing whatever he leads me to do at this season of my life, and I'm glad about it.
So Mayan Productions is actually taking off.
It's taking off.
And how do you feel about that?
I am elated. I'm excited about the different gifts that he's placed in me and how it's going to impact the world.
Now, you're taking things to the next level. You have an internet radio show, and in the interest of full disclosure, I do some of the production work.
Yes, you do.
I hope that's not a conflict of interest.
Absolutely not.
One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show this morning is, again, to really get into some of the reasons behind the Mayan Lounge, behind some of the things that you're doing with respect to your plays.
Okay.
The Devil Thought He Had Me. Now, I understand that you won two awards. Talk about
that. Yes, sir. Yes, we did. To God be the glory. The Devil Thought He Had Me is tightly based on a period of my life. It's based on my real life story during a period where I was in a worldly environment, doing worldly things, and at the same time going through the issues with domestic violence. So I brought my real life story to the stage June of 2012. From that particular show, we won two awards. One was real life based stage play production, and the second one of my actors, he won actually Actor of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah. He won Mr. James Sims, who was also featured on the radio version of The Devil Thought He Had Me via the Mayan Lounge radio show.
Now, there was great expectations with that play. How did the play do with respect to the Charlotte audience? Were you widely accepted? What was the turnout like? What was that acceptance level like?
Well, the acceptance level, in my opinion, was great. The numbers weren't, you know, astronomical, but the response from the show, the reputation that we got from that show, and the testimonies that I got via my Facebook inbox, Peaches, that show changed my life. I know I can now make it. So sometimes that outweighs any amount of numbers, be it through the venue or financial, when someone tells me, that their life was changed from a production, that makes it all worth it.
And absolutely.
I'm going to mention again, we won 2 awards from that show.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, one of the interesting things, and before going on the air, we were talking about how God impacts people's lives.
Absolutely.
And the journey that we had to deal with. And sometimes it's an arduous journey. It's really difficult to go through those experiences.
Honey.
But you never know who you're going to meet along the way.
Never know.
When your production, when your stage play touches an individual, what goes on inside to know that you are impacting someone's life?
It makes me feel like those times when I want to quit to keep going, because it becomes beyond Pechanda Dubose, and it becomes that person's life that I'm destined and or my assignment to affect them. So it makes me want to keep trying in those difficult moments where I feel like I'm not received or I feel like I'm not supported. It makes me want to just keep going and keep writing and keep putting up these shows to change and impact that person's life. It makes me want to keep going.
Yeah. Now, as you indicated, much of what you're doing is tethered to your personal experiences. Talk a little bit about what you had to endure in terms of domestic violence.
Well, as any victim of domestic violence, be it men or women, because men experience it too, you go through a period of depression. You feel degraded. You feel worthless. Those are some of the impacts of outside of the physical aspects. You can physically see those, but the emotional impact it has on you, it's an indescribable feeling of just feeling degraded and being made to feel less than. My whole purpose for telling my story is to reverse that effect.
To let
people know that you are worthy of being loved, that you're not nobody, and that you are worthy of a real loving and nurturing relationship. And that you deserve it. A lot of people put up and tolerate those type of situations because they're made to feel like they don't deserve happiness or real love or to be treated with respect. So my sole purpose is to inspire to reverse that effect.
And one of the interesting things about domestic violence, and I've done so many shows on this issue, is that when you ask a woman who had to endure this, why do you stay? Talk a little bit about what was going on intrinsically, personally, that caused you to stay.
Fear. Fear, I believe, is the number one factor. I was told if I left, he would kill me. It's fear. Some women stay for financial stability. They've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. They don't want to have to struggle without that person. Fear, finances, sometimes it could be even sexually. You know, some people have such, what's the word, soul ties. They have soul ties with the person that is victimizing them, and they feel like they can't get that satisfaction from somebody else. And a lot of times people don't want to talk about that aspect, but that's a strong reason why some people stay too.
I was about to get salacious. I was going to say something a little rated R when you were asking me.
It's the truth.
Is the sex that good that you can't
Women, some women and some men, because I told you some men are victims of domestic violence. Men get abused as well. And some people feel like it's that good that I can't see myself living without them. So you have fear, you have the sexual aspect, you have the financial aspect, and then lastly, some people just feel like they don't deserve anything better.
One of the interesting things about your internet show is that you bring out the emotion of what you experience personally. Let's play a little snippet of what you present on your radio show.
Who is that just walked out here looking at me like you're all crazy and stuff?
Oh, shoot. That's just Bree.
Just Bree, huh?
Yeah. I told you about him.
Well, why he looking at me like he all crazy and he got a problem with me?
I don't know. That ain't nothing. Baby.
It ain't nothing.
No, baby.
Get me a beer. Been working all damn day and you want to sit up here and play footsies with me?
Okay.
What? Can't believe this, man.
Baby, what's wrong?
Because right after my shift, I got laid off. That's what's wrong.
But baby, I'm sure you'll find something.
Just give me the beer. So who is this guy again? This Bree?
Yeah, that's Bree. He went to school with me and we
grew
up. Yeah, we grew up together.
Okay. Why do I have a feeling something more than that.
Nothing, baby.
Are you lying to me?
Baby.
Are you lying to me?
Can I get you anything else?
Yeah, you can give me something else. Give me the truth. That's what you can do for me. Huh?
No.
Give me the truth.
No, Jim.
No, don't call my name now. You won't call my name when that fuck was looking at me all crazy, huh?
That is certainly very emotional. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what is going on here.
Well, this took effect one night when I used to run a liquor house, as the old people would say.
You ran a liquor house?
Yes, I did. I ran one.
You were a moonshiner?
Yeah, I was. Well, I didn't make it, but I sure did sell it. I ran a liquor house for 3.5-4 years. Mm-hmm. This was one particular night when, a young man who was a regular customer of mine, came to support my establishment, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, the man I was with, was jealous and controlling and obviously abusive and asked me about this particular fella. And his rage and jealousy overcame him. And that's where you hear the scene where, the physical abuse began to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that particular moment. How did you feel?
Out of control, hurt, needless to say, that wasn't the first time mm-hmm. it happened. But with each encounter, it takes a little bit away from you, from your soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. According to the Centers of Disease Control, 1 in 4 women has experienced mm-hmm. domestic violence in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Are we doing enough in this country dealing with this issue?
I feel like, as a country, we have made significant strides, for one, talking about it. Before, it was so shunned and mind your business. They could hear a woman being abused in the next house or even in the street. Mind your business. That's her husband. That's her man. You let them deal with that. But now the tolerance for it is becoming less and less. So I do think that we're making significant strides when we have shows like this to bring awareness. I think it's not totally, we don't deal with it as a country totally as we should. But I do think that we are making significant strides. Yeah. And we start doing that by, first of all, exposing it like we're doing now.
Absolutely. Now, you also tackle life on the streets and some other really provocative topics, not just on the internet radio show, but also on the stage.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my specialty. That's all I know, is to keep it real. In order to be effective, you have to make it where people can relate, you know. And that's part of my story, is the real issues.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the time that you had to sleep on the streets.
Okay. Well, my children and I, and this is more recent. This is after the stage play. This is since the play in June, between the play in June and now. My children and I recently slept in my car for a large portion of this past summer. Hot. My SUV had no air conditioning, and there were people who knew of my situation, but because of who I was, didn't reach out to help me, because I guess they felt like, unfortunately, in our community, we like to see each other down.
Yeah.
And even though I'm a woman, I still have pride. Women have pride too. So basically, I did what I have to do until things got better.
We had a discussion prior to going on the air about God and about why he allows us to go through certain things. And it was a very honest discussion about it. And I must tell you, I'm so glad that we had it, mm-hmm. primarily because I think we all need to feed each other.
Yes, we do.
Iron sharpens iron.
You took the words out of my mouth.
Absolutely. And I am so glad that things have turned around for you. Mm-hmm. I am so glad that you are on the upswing and mm-hmm. you are doing your thing. And I think people need to see that. It needs mm-hmm. to be expressed, not just on radio, not just on the stage, mm-hmm. but it needs to be expressed in our daily lives.
Everyday life.
That we go through these struggles, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, God is going to bring us mm-hmm. through. Any
Absolutely.
Thoughts about what folks can do when they are in the midst of a storm?
In the midst of the storm, just keep believing in what you already know. One of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to make you believe that you can't do what you're already doing. He'll make you feel like you can't hold on. Well, you woke up this morning. That means he's not done with you. Mm-hmm. That means that you have the ability to keep going on.
And that's
trust
why,
what you know.
Right.
You
right.
already know that he's able because he's brought you out before. So yeah, you just have to keep holding on to that memory and versus what the situation is that you're in now. Keep your eyes on the fact of what you already know.
Yeah.
And we already know that he is able.
Mm-hmm. And that is why you named the stage play The Devil Thought He Had
He
Me.
Thought he did.
Yeah.
Get into that.
The Devil Thought He Had Me.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about why you think the devil thinks he has you.
Well, me personally, he thought he had me because of what I was going through.
Yeah.
And a lot of people feel like because of what I've done and what I've been through, I'm not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy to come up out of this. And that's the deception in it. He'll have you even thinking that he has you. But the fact that God pulled me up from that mess, and be it the street life I was living, or be it the abuse, or be it just not loving myself enough to walk away, he thought he had me because he thought that I would never be strong enough to walk away.
Yeah. For those who happen to think that you can look down on an individual who's going through a struggle, listen, mm-hmm. I can tell you firsthand experience, we come out of those kinds of situations.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
And if you read your Bible,
mm-hmm.
you know it is replete with individuals who mm-hmm. had their it's own personal journey and own personal struggle.
A lot of examples. And that's no different with Ron Holland or Pichanda DuBose.
Absolutely.
Or whoever is listening to this show.
Absolutely.
He is no respecter of persons. And whatever that situation is that you're facing, just know that it won't always be this way. I'm a living, breathing example.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get into the project you're currently working on. Yeah, right. Now, The Devil Thought He Had Me 2.0?
2.0, yep. I like that. Yeah, it's our second show. Mm-hmm. We waited a while because I had some, you know, like I said, I had that brief period of homelessness, which people don't know. Well, they know now.
Yeah.
You know, I had to reconstruct some things with my family structure. So we waited a while on that. And, but it's taking place for the second time in the month of April 25th in the city of Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Okay. Now, are some of the cast members that were in the first play, are they in the second?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've recasted a couple of roles, but 90% of the cast is returned.
See, that's stage play language that I'm not familiar with. We recast it. I say, well, are they in the same play?
Yeah, just two of the characters have been recasted.
Okay.
We've added Mr. Terrell Phillips from the group Black Street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's taken one of the main roles. And then we have a young man by the name of Richard Gallion. He's a real heavy hitter from Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk a little bit about coalescing all of the actors and cast members. How do you do that? Because you bring particular talents and egos and all those things that are attached to being on the stage. Talk a little bit about how you bring those elements together to make a great stage play.
I fuss a lot. I'm kind of no nonsense when it comes to the stage.
Yeah,
but, well, in all seriousness, we pray. We pray, we seek God. And it's important for me to cast people who understand and really support the vision, the whole purpose behind it. So we discuss that. We, like I said, we pray together. And if I don't feel like they're connected or they really understand or engulf the vision of the production, then they can't be attached to it.
So
that's what I do. And lastly, I fuss a lot. So we get it done right.
Absolutely. You have to bring out the perfection.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you've made it quite clear that your plays are for mature audiences.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us why.
No, not all of them. This one in particularly because of the subject matter.
Yeah.
Because of the abusive scenes and because of some of the language. Like I said, there was a period of my life when I lived street life. And, you know, those liquor house scenes, they weren't saying ABC 123, Michael Jackson songs. You know, it was some serious stuff going on. So for this show in particular, yes, it's for mature audiences.
I'm just having a difficult time picturing you running a liquor house.
See, that's
how I can picture you with a gun, you know, to your side.
That's how God changes you. But it was true.
That
ran it for a long time.
That was a moment in your life.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't regret a day of that, because it's made me be to be able to help other people who are still in that lifestyle. A lot of people feel like this is all I know.
Right.
You know, I can't do anything else but sell drugs. I can't do anything else but run the streets or sell dope or sell my body. A lot of people feel like this is all I know. You know, I can't do anything else. But I'm a witness. That's not true.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to be in the play?
No. Okay. Everybody asks me that. No. Yeah. Absolutely not.
So why aren't you in the play?
Well, because that's not my calling or my assignment. He's blessed me to be able to write, direct, and produce.
Yeah,
I'm not interested on being on the stage.
Well, talk a little bit about how you're able to get your characters, your cast members, to immerse themselves into the characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've established relationships with different actors and actresses through my brief 3 years in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them in other productions, and I just ask God to lead me to the right people.
Yeah,
and, you know, just building relationships with them. And once again, in order for them to be able to embellish themselves in the character, they have to believe in the story.
Yeah,
so that's the key element in me choosing who I'm going to have in each production.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, as the play unfolds, talk a little bit about what the audience will experience. What will they come away with?
Okay, well, the play is going to make you laugh. It's going to make you cry. It's going to make you dance. I mean, we have some characters who cut up the whole time. You know, for instance, Miss Sand, she's off the chain. And then we have, you know, some really sad portions in the play.
Mm-hmm.
So it will take you on an emotional roller coaster. There's some surprise moments in it. There's also some romance.
Right.
So we have all those different levels of emotions that you'll experience. But what you will leave away with is knowing that I don't care who you are, that you can have a second chance at life.
Right.
And understand why the devil thought he had you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you don't only have to be in street life for the devil to think he had you. You could be corporate America making big bucks, and the enemy can still feel like he has you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, you also have a playwright's ball coming up.
Mm-hmm.
There is bound to be some elegance in that experience. Talk a little bit about
this. This project is my baby. Mm-hmm. God gave me this vision a couple of years ago, and I kind of said, okay, I'll have to put it on the back burner, you know, but he kept knocking on me about it, you know, just tapping on my shoulder. And so, you know, when something, an idea just keeps, you know, weighing on you like that, I felt like he wanted me to go ahead on and do it in this season. The Playwrights Ball is just that. It's an elegant evening of celebration. It's a black tie event for the urban playwright industry.
Mm-hmm.
We have playwrights coming from all over. We have some from Philadelphia, Texas, Florida, Virginia, did I say Philadelphia?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, we have some coming from Philadelphia, Maryland. I'm trying to remember. There's Chicago.
This is a big
everywhere.
Event.
Yeah, we have playwrights coming from all over.
Right.
And not only playwrights, but we have authors coming as well,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of them are interested in the playwright industry. They want to take their books from script to the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's going to be hosted by Miguel Nunez. He starred in the movie Joanna Man in Life.
Mm-hmm.
He's hosting it. We have special performances by Miss Deatra Hicks and Christopher Williams.
Now, I can tell you, in putting together some of the projects that you have, Miss Hicks can sing
behind. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's
every time
I see itself.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. She is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all know about Christopher Williams,
mm-hmm.
but this woman can sing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the understatement. You have to be there to experience it, or either Google her.
Yeah.
Or either go on YouTube and look up the Miss Deatra Hicks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She'll be there. And also, it's going to be a 5-star our meal. It's a catered meal.
Also, no fried chicken.
No, absolutely not.
Well, you know,
I'm paying $700 for this cake.
I hate the stereotype, but when you talk about black folk,
No. It's an upscale event.
Yeah.
But yeah, somebody asked me that. We have fried chicken. I'm like, no fried chicken this time. Although I love fried chicken.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's a 5-star meal, and we're just going all out for the industry.
Wow.
We have a red carpet. It's going to be covered by Mr. Eric J. Chambers from Hollywood, California. He's a 4-time Emmy Award winning journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another publication from Maryland Dove Style Magazine.
Okay.
And we have several other magazines coming from different states to cover the event.
Wow, this is going to be huge. And what's interesting about that to me is that this is a community that will showcase and highlight real talent.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts about what young folks should take away from this experience?
It's interesting because we have some of the babes in the industry, some of the very new playwrights who've only done stuff like in the local churches, and then we have the intermediate playwrights like myself, and then you have the veterans who've been doing it for a long time.
Right.
So I want people to leave away inspired. I want everybody to network with one another. It's a wonderful networking platform because, you know, like I said, some of the authors are coming looking for playwrights to put to produce their book and bring it on stage.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, a lot of the urban playwright community will never get to experience the red carpet in celebration of what they do.
Yeah,
So this is my way of giving back to the urban playwright community
and
nationally.
Right. And last but not least, your internet radio show. How could folks hear your show?
They can hear my show adding me on Facebook, Peach Anda Dubose. That's P-E-A-C-H-A-N-D-A Dubose, D-U-B-O-S-E. You can add me and then I'll send you to all the links. It's the Mayan Lounge. I'm also found on Facebook via the Mayan Lounge. That's M-A-Y-A-N Lounge.
Absolutely. And
like that page, and then you can listen to the show whenever you want to.
Well, I get to listen to it because I put the show together.
Right. I also wanted to mention at the Playwrights Ball, we're going to be honoring three people that evening. We're going to be giving the Merit Award, the Icon Award, and the Trailblazer Award.
Okay.
And the beautiful thing about it is all of those honorees are going to be there, but they have no idea who they are.
Okay. So the stage play, The Devil Thought He Had Me, it is
April 25th
at
the Arts Council Theater in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The Playwrights Ball takes effect in March the 23rd right here in Charlotte at the Doubletree Suites in South Park, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Wonderful. Well, Peaches, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
You're welcome. Let me leave my number.
Sure.
If anybody has any questions in regards to tickets to either one of these events, I can be reached at 336-918-0267. That's 336-918-0267.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
You're welcome. God bless you, Ron.
Amen.
Always a pleasure.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. I'd like to again thank playwright and director Peach Anda Dubose for sharing her thoughts and perspective on the sensitive issues that are the basis of her stage play, The Devil Thought He Had Me, and her internet radio show. Domestic violence, low self-esteem, rape, and a host of other despicable acts perpetrated against women and even men should be firmly denounced. I'm glad these issues can be discussed in a variety of ways, including on the stage. For more information about the stage play, The Devil Thought He Had Me, or the upcoming Playwrights Ball, log on to www.mayanproductions.net. You can also reach Peach Anda Dubose by calling 336-918-0267. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronholland.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.